Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and we're going to read verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Our overall theme over the last number of months has been walking in the Spirit, or walking with the Spirit, from Galatians 5. And we got a couple of weeks to go yet, and we'll be finished on this theme. Over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the flesh and its constant conflict with the Spirit. Galatians 5:13 says, "We are not to indulge the flesh, but rather we are to serve one another in love." Galatians 5:16 says, "When we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh." As Christians, we always need to guard against the flesh and learn to walk every day in the Spirit. Last week, we looked at the theological basis for our freedom in Christ. We learned that Christ died for us, and in that death, we were justified. We were delivered from God's wrath. We were reconciled to God, and a lot of other things happened as well, but those are the things that were mentioned in Romans 5. Then we also learned how we are not only did Christ die, but we died with Christ. Our old man is dead. Our body, which once was a servant of sin, a slave to sin, is now free to serve God. And then we concluded that even though the old man is dead, and the body of sin is, in a sense, unemployed with its regard to serving sin, the effects of sin are still in our body. And the Bible calls those effects of sin the flesh. And for God's wise reason, He's left the flesh to continue in our bodies. And we have to struggle with that flesh concept. And even though we are free from the slavery of sin, we're not free from the regular call of the flesh to turn back to sin. The flesh continues to cause me back to sin and works against the Spirit that calls me to holiness and love. And that conflict is outlined in verse 17, and we'll read that verse actually in a number of minutes. Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And we're going to look a little bit further in that verse this morning. Crucified is an aorist tense. That means a lot to me. It doesn't mean a lot to you. But it means that it's a completed act in the past. And these tenses really bring out a lot of the truth of the sentences that they're in. So this is means that in the past, we crucified the flesh. Crucified is also an active voice, which means that I am the one doing the action. So this verse is telling me that someplace in the past, I crucified my flesh. When did I crucify my flesh? How did I crucify my flesh? Well, we're going to look at that in a moment. Verse 17 says this: "The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." So verse 17 is in conflict, in contrast with verse 24. Verse 24 says, "I crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts." Verse 17 says, "My passions and lusts of the flesh are in constant conflict with the Spirit." So there seems to be a conflict of truth there. Am I crucified? Or is my flesh crucified, or is it still alive? So we're going to talk about that this morning as well. So when was I crucified? How was I crucified? And am I really crucified or not? Okay. This crucifixion of the flesh is obviously not referring to our death and union with Christ in Romans 6, because that's a passive voice, which means that God is the one who has crucified my old man. It's not me. And it also, the old man is not the flesh. It's connected with the body, but it is not connected with the old man. So it can't mean my co-crucifixion with Christ. Those two verses, Romans 6:6 and Galatians 5:24, just don't fit together. So it's not talking about the truth we talked about last week, where I am crucified with Christ. It means something else. So we're going to look at that right now. What I believe Paul is teaching here is that when I chose to give my life to Christ, and, you know, we can talk about that, but, you know, giving yourself to Christ is a decision to put your faith in Christ. When I did that, God joined me to Christ, put to death my old man, which we talked about last week, and delivered me from the body of sin and my slavery to sin. In that choice to follow Christ, in whatever way you want to explain that, I also chose to crucify my flesh with its passions and desires and to no longer serve sin in any way. When I said yes to Christ, I said no to sin, I said no to the world, I said no to my flesh, and in that sense, I chose to crucify my flesh with its passions and its desires. I hope that you've come to realize as a Christian that God wants you to have nothing to do with sin. A lot of Christians don't recognize that anymore in the church today. I just listened to an interview yesterday on the internet. Asked this lady, they asked her, you know, was she a Christian? Yeah, I love God, I pray every night. Well, what do you think of having sex regularly with your boyfriend? No problem. Well, what about the Bible? Well, the Bible was written by man. So I can, you know, that's an opinion. That's Christianity today, generally speaking. The Bible teaches that we have to have nothing more to do with sin. And the scripture is very, very, scriptures are very, very important. John writes, everyone who has the hope of seeing Jesus purifies himself just as he is pure. And there are hundreds of other verses that tell us to have no more truck, as it were, with sin if we are truly belong to Christ. So when we said yes to Christ, we said no to the flesh with its passions and lusts. And in that sense, we crucified the flesh. My choice to follow Christ, which included my decision to crucify the flesh, however, did not remove the influence of the flesh over my body. The influence of the flesh pulling me towards sin against God will continue until death when I receive my new body, a body which will no longer be infected with the flesh, will no longer have any desire toward sin at all. I'm looking forward to that day. That's probably the thing I'm looking forward to the most with regard to going to heaven, is having no more sin, no more pull to sin, and to live in a perfect environment of righteousness and truth. That, to me, is the greatest appeal, as it were, to heaven. And that is all in connection with being with God and with Jesus Christ. My choice to follow Christ and to crucify the flesh did not eliminate the conflict of the flesh with the Spirit, which continues to the present. Until the day of deliverance, I need to be aware of the flesh, beware of the flesh, and not to gratify the flesh by walking in the Spirit. So when I chose to follow Christ, I chose also to crucify my flesh. Now, I may not have made that choice consciously. Maybe that's the choice you want to declare today. I am a Christian, and I am crucifying my flesh, and I will have nothing more to do with sin. That choice did not remove the influence of the flesh over my body and the conflict of my flesh with the Spirit of God. The flesh desires me to sin while the Spirit is at work in me to bring me to holiness and love. And that's what we're talking about in this series. Walking in the Spirit, not indulging the flesh, and living as God wants us to live. Now I want to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. And let's read that together. Romans 8, 13 and 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. My choice for Christ, which included my choice not to gratify the desires of the flesh anymore, but to crucify the flesh, is to be worked out on a day-to-day basis in my Christian life. Romans 8:13, Paul is teaching, in Romans 8:13, Paul is teaching that the flesh is to be crucified on an ongoing basis. Because of the choice I once made, that aorist tense in Galatians 5:24, I am to have nothing more to do with sin and to put the flesh to death on a day-to-day, even moment-by-moment basis. Put to death here is not an aorist, but a continuous present tense. And it's an action, it's an active verb, which means I am doing the action. So I am to continue to put the misdeeds of the body to death on a continuing basis. My choice to follow Christ is to be worked out on a day-to-day basis. And that's an important truth in general in Christianity. My confessions of faith are to be worked out on a day-to-day basis in my Christian life. The truth I learn in theory is to be worked out on a day-to-day basis in my Christian life. Because of the choice I once made to follow Christ and to have nothing more to do with sin, I am to put the flesh to death on an ongoing basis. So here in Romans 8:13, we move from a one-time decision in the past to have nothing more to do with the flesh to an ongoing daily application of death to the flesh. Notice here, as in Galatians chapter 5, it's by walking in the Spirit that this happens. It's not self-effort. As I walk in the Spirit, I say no to the flesh and to sin and put to death the flesh and yield myself in obedience to God. So it's always by yielding to God that I say no to the flesh. It's not always no, no, no. It's a yes to God and a no to sin. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment here. Putting the flesh to death on an ongoing basis is a work of faith and obedience to God. The crucifixion of my old man, which we talked about in Romans 6:6, in union with Christ, is a work of God's grace in my life. And so there's a difference there. One is God's action upon me. He places me in Christ, and it's God's work here. I'm called to a work of faith and obedience to God, believing that when I chose Christ, I said no to the flesh, and then applying that on obedience on a day-to-day basis in saying no to the flesh every time the flesh comes up and demands my body to serve sin. Jesus taught the very same truth. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30, very interesting verse there, Matthew 5, 27 to 30. Jesus says here we are to deal with our body in a harsh way in order to prevent it from sinning. The application of this death to the misdeeds of the body. This is talking about an area where men are very prone to sin, this whole area of lust. And it's very graphic. Matthew 5, 27. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. This death to the flesh is supposed to be something that we take very seriously, even to the point of not physically doing these things, but even as if we were gouging out our eye or cutting off our hand, or maybe for some of us, cutting out our tongue or something like that. or whatever whatever sin, whatever call of the flesh seems to be more prone in your life than in others' life. Paul not only taught this truth, but applied it in his own life. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul is intent that his body will not be a vehicle of sin, but will be a vehicle of service and honor and glory to God. And he will say no to the flesh in every single situation, no matter what it might cost. I want to bring a caution in here at this point. We are not Buddhists. We are Christians. What I mean by that is the Christian does not seek to eliminate all physical desires and pleasures from his life. We're not to be ascetics, like Colossians chapter 2 talks about, you know, and think like the Gnostics did, where we're spiritual people caught in this evil flesh, which can never be redeemed or be of any good. The body is going to be redeemed. God looks on the body as a part of his creation. We're not to deny the desires that we have in our life. The Christian does not believe that the body is evil and sinful, and that it is to be neglected and restrained from all physical desires. All of our fleshly passions and desires can be traced back to good passions and desires, which because of sin have taken control of our lives and have become the gods we worship instead of ways of enjoying the blessings of God. So we need to keep that balance in. It's not that we are to destroy desire in destroying the flesh, but we are to examine every desire to see if it is to be fulfilled to the glory of God. Self-gratification is the essence of the flesh. Yielding to God in love for God's glory, no matter what the cost is to me, is the essence of Christianity. The self-gratification of the flesh and the self-giving love of God are in conflict with each other. When I have a desire to do something, I must examine that desire to see if its fulfillment will glorify God, or if to fulfill it will dishonor and disobey God. The fulfillment of our desires must be in line with the purposes of God and the glory of God, and must not be fulfilled independent of God or in rebellion against God. The body is to serve the will of God. The body is not to be a servant of sin, but a servant of the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, that your body might be a servant unto God. Saying no to the flesh on a regular basis is not only crucifying the flesh, but will feel like crucifixion as well. Let me explain what I mean by that in a moment. Perhaps because saying no to the flesh feels like crucifixion, that's why we do not put the flesh to death as we should on a regular basis. As Christians, we've learned now from Romans 6:6, we're free from the slavery of sin. We're free from the power of sin. And I think that as Christians, more often than not now, we choose to sin and are not obligated to sin. We may feel like we're compelled to sin, but most of the time we're choosing to sin because we are now free from sin. We actually have a free will, in a sense, as Christians, where before we were compelled by our slavery to sin, to follow after sin. We sin because we want to sin. We sin because we like the feeling and pleasure of sin. We sin because we like the flesh to be satisfied and comforted and appeased. We may not like the guilt of sin. We may not like the long-term effects of our sin on our bodies or on our families, but we do like the momentary pleasure of sin. And the scriptures don't deny that sin can bring a certain sense of pleasure. Saying no to the flesh is like going through a crucifixion. We may feel the bitter effects of the cross in our own being when we deny the flesh. Saying no to the flesh is choosing to cut yourself off from a desire that you have, a strong desire that you might have for a momentary pleasure. After we say no to a strong desire, and that strong desire continues to cry out, it can be a very intense. In fact, sometimes when we say no, the desire only seems to grow. There's ways to deal with that through a prayer, through calling out to God, through filling our minds and our hearts with the things of God. But a strong desire can cry out for a long time and tax the physical and mental energies of a person. Dealing with the vigilant and determined perseverance of the flesh can be a physically and mentally draining conflict. So crucifying the flesh is not an easy thing necessarily. It gets easier as you do it on a regular basis. An unfulfilled desire can bring mental and even physical pain to a person. You can feel miserable when you decide to no longer satisfy the flesh, especially in the early stages of turning away from sin. You might even feel like you can't even do it. It's impossible. I can't give up this sin, this addiction, this attitude, this behavior that I have. You may feel miserable every time you seek to turn away from it. You can feel just like you're missing a limb, or like you've cut off your eye or your hand or your tongue from sin in obedience to God. A great sense of loneliness can set in as I leave behind my faithful friend named fulfilled fleshly desire. A sense of deadness, a sense of emptiness can settle in when I continue to say no to the flesh on an ongoing basis. You may go into a state of mourning, as it were, and a sense of loss, because you just feel like you're in nowhere land, like you're not connected to anything when you begin to say no to the flesh and continue in saying no. Boredom is possible because the adrenaline rush of sin is gone as part of self-crucifixion. Did you know that sins like pornography, stealing, perhaps even drugs, produce a chemical high in the body which makes us want to come back for more? That's a fact. There's this adrenaline rush that you want again and again and again. Food can comfort the body in the same kind of way. When a man or a woman decides that the flesh must be crucified and determines to say no to God and yes to holiness and to put to death the misdeeds of the body, a kind of depression can set in because that adrenaline rush isn't there anymore. That comforting of the flesh isn't there anymore. An adrenaline rush, a comfort, or that which gave you comfort may be substituted and replaced with other things which are often no better than the sin of the response to the flesh that it is replacing. Yes, the death of the flesh can actually feel like a crucifixion when you go through it. When we're undergoing trial, the flesh is right there to offer us relief from that trial by indulging its passions and its desires. Saying no to the flesh under trial may even increase our burden in that time of trial. But choosing to be holy and obedient to God produces maturity and completeness, as James teaches us in chapter 1, and purifies our faith, as Peter teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 1 as well. God's way is saying no to the flesh, that we might become like God in holiness and love. Sustained obedience to God is only possible when we walk in the Spirit and are refreshed daily in our fellowship with God. Let me repeat that. Sustained obedience to God is only possible when we walk in the Spirit and are refreshed daily in our fellowship with God. That's why I believe meeting with God every single morning is absolutely essential to walking in the Spirit. If the humdrum routines of life are not filled with fellowship with God, the flesh can deceive us into rewarding our good behavior with the excitement of the flesh. And I'm going to say something in a moment. I'm going to read this sentence over and read the next sentence here and say it's a very common thing that I have found. If the humdrum routines of life are not filled with fellowship with God, the flesh can deceive us into rewarding our good behavior with the excitement of the flesh. Following up a good day of righteous behavior with a reward of sin by indulging the flesh is not uncommon. I've been good all day, and I deserve this little indulgence. Hey, indulge the flesh, right? And that's not an uncommon thing to do. I deserve this fleshly indulgence for my faithfulness up to this point. How deceptive the flesh can be. Sustained obedience to God is not indulging the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Sustained obedience to God and not indulging the flesh, but walking in the Spirit produces rich blessings of fellowship with God, a deep joy and peace with God that comes from obedience. Sustained obedience produces spiritual maturity, power in ministry, fruitful ministry, and godly character. I want to sidetrack here just for one moment, mention something that I thought about this week, then we'll close off this morning. I want to sidetrack for a moment and caution how the flesh can easily deceive us in our Christian life. The flesh can so easily deceive us in our Christian life. And I have an example here from an area that we all know, the area of worship on Sunday mornings. For example, our yearning for excitement in worship services can be the flesh calling out to be entertained and stimulated. I do think we need to be more excited about our God and His work and the salvation that we have in Him. I do think we should express that excitement more excitedly, as it were, in worship. But I don't think it should be an indulgence of the flesh, but a response of our understanding of God's truth and God's ways as expressed in Scripture. So there's the subtlety there. We always need to be discerning between the work of the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And the only way we can do that is by a deepening knowledge of God's Word and a growing fellowship with God and God's Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, we can learn to discern between the work of the flesh and the work of God. And that's actually a definition that is given in Hebrews chapter, I think it's 5. I got to find the book of Hebrews first to even find that. A definition that I like of maturity: solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. A constancy in learning to distinguish between that which is of God and of righteousness. That's the good there is talking about righteousness, which is mentioned in the verse 13. Distinguishing between a righteousness and that which is evil. Sometimes even the good can be not of the Spirit of God. So I just wanted to mention that. I want to encourage every one of you here to carefully read and understand an article by A.W. Tozer, which I printed off and put on the back pew. I've also got the link, the article in your bulletin, if you want to look it up online or download it for a reprint for yourself. It's called The Old Cross and the New by A.W. Tozer. And I think it spells out very clearly this whole area of Christians walking in the flesh, thinking that they're walking in the Spirit. And it's just it's a classic by Tozer, and you'll want to keep that and reread it on a regular basis. Okay, let's close. One day, as Jesus was speaking with his disciples, he said this: "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." Have you decided to follow Jesus? Then Jesus says you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. Part of that self-denial is saying no to the flesh on a regular daily basis. As Christians, We are done with sin. We are done with sin. I want you guys to say that with me this morning. We are done with sin. We are done with sin. You can read many different places in Scripture. We were saved to be holy and righteous and sanctified and like Jesus Christ. We are done with sin. We are to walk in holiness, and part of walking in holiness means death to the passions and desires of the flesh. It's not an easy thing. It's like a crucifixion. It's not fun. It's not exciting, but it has to be. You are dead to sin in Christ. Your body is no longer a slave to sin, but is free to serve God. Do not indulge the flesh, but crucify it daily and walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Next week, we're going to look at works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in one morning. We're not going to go in detail, just look a little bit at those two categories in Galatians 5. Then the week after, I'm going to give you a summary of what we've gone through, the process of what we've gone through, kind of like a checklist of walking in the Spirit, as it were. And then we'll be done Galatians 5.